Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Starting this Saturday at Busch Stadium and Ballpark Village is the Cardinals Care Winter Warm-Up. It is the 28th annual Winter Warm-Up as we get ready for the Cardinals to report to spring training in Florida and then for the regular season to begin after that. And to talk about Winter Warm-Up with us, it is the Executive Director of Cardinals Care, Michael Hall, is in studio with us. Good to see you, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
So, are you ready to go? Oh, by the way, we should mention that Amy and I will be broadcasting from the winter warm-up at Cardinals Nation at Ballpark Village, where our KMOX setup is. We're going to be there from 9 to 11. It also had, and this is going to be on Monday, this also happens to be Inauguration Day, so we're going to have inauguration coverage starting at 11, so Amy and I will be leading up to that.
And so, it also happens to be National Championship Football Game Day.
But a lot going on.
I mean, yeah. So there's
a lot going on that
day. It's a big day.
So you got to be ready for winter warm up, Michael. It's just a few days away.
We're ready. We're ready. We're excited. Looking forward to having another great event. Been a lot of feedback, and a lot of folks have been reaching out, and so we're looking forward to it.
Okay, so you've been with the Cardinals a long time, over three decades. This is the 28th winter warm up. So there's never been a winter warm up without Michael Hall.
That's true.
Yes. So,
wow. I had to think about that when you say it like that. Yeah. But yes, that is true.
So,
but, yeah, imagine over the years it's grown, it's changed, it's evolved. What can people expect this year?
Yeah, so it has changed from the times where we were at the Millennium Hotels where it started, and then, you know, our friends over at the Hyatt, and now we're on our campus, if you will. So, it has evolved. It has changed. Some of the things that we'll do new this year compared to last year's event, first of all, our hours are different.
Used to start on Friday, right?
We start on Saturday.
It's Saturday. No, did it used to?
No,
on Friday?
It never.
Oh,
it
didn't?
No, it was
okay.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So we're still 9 to 5 on Saturday and Sunday, but Monday we're 9 to 1. Okay. We used to be 9 to 3, so that's a difference. One of the things we also added this year is the opportunity for fans to get their photo taken with Cardinal Hall of Famers in their red jackets. And so we have Ray Lankford will be there on Saturday, and we have Vince Coleman and Ozzie Smith on Sunday. And fans can secure tickets for that opportunity by going to the website, cardinals.com/WWU for that.
And then the tickets for that, sorry, that's separate. Is that a separate ticket, you said, from the winter warm-up?
Yes.
Ticket? Okay.
Yeah, so the way it works, there's admission tickets for warm-up, and that gets you into the event. And then there's autograph tickets. So each player, you have to have an autograph ticket for that player. And the autograph tickets is a donation to the foundation, because winter warm-up is it's a fundraiser. And so you secure your tickets for an autograph through the website as well. And so we added this other opportunity of photos, because some fans like to get their photos taken with people instead of getting autographs. So we thought we'd try it with our Cardinal Hall of Famers this year.
So the main stage stuff is that's open to the public. You don't have to have a ticket for that. And we're talking like Q&A sessions, which a lot of times, other than the autographs or now the photo opportunities, this tends to be one of the more popular parts of fan fests, where people get the opportunity to ask questions, whether it's of the general manager or players or whatever, right?
Yes, no, that's exactly right. And in fact, that's another new feature for this year. Last year, to get into Ballpark Village, you had to have an admission ticket. So it's open to the public this year. So on the stage in live in Ballpark Village, that's our main stage. And we'll have activities and content throughout the weekend. You know, for instance, on Saturday, our president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, he usually kicks it off for us, and he'll be up on main stage with doing some Q&A. We'll have some players throughout the day doing some Q&A. And then on Sunday, we'll do a talking baseball panel with our assistant GMs. And then I think in the afternoon, we're going to have Ricky Horton and Kenny Daly and Andy Van Slyke on stage, just to recognize them as part of that 1985 championship team, league championship team, National League team. So
40 years.
Cool. It's 40-year anniversary that we'll be celebrating this year, too. So, you know, the main stage is neat. It's an opportunity for fans to just really get a chance to see players and ask questions to our front office execs.
That's awesome. Do you know, you mentioned again that it's a fundraiser, which I think is a really important reminder for everyone. If you're buying tickets and you're thinking, I pay extra for autograph. Well, it's awesome that it's a donation. It's going to Cardinals Care. Do you know how much you guys have raised over the years for Cardinals Care through winter warm-up?
No, that's a great question. I don't. You know, it varies each year, the amount that we actually raise. You know, obviously based on attendance and purchasing of the tickets. It is our one of our largest fundraisers. It really sort of literally sets the tone for us for the year, kicks the year off for us from a foundation standpoint, and kind of sets up what we're going to do for the throughout the rest of the season. And having our largest fundraiser at the very beginning of the year is great. And it's, you know, just an opportunity for the organization as well to welcome fans and start talking baseball and start thinking about the spring and spring training.
For people who are interested to know what happens to the money that gets raised and what Cardinals Care does with it, what specifically can you tell them?
Yeah, so I can break it down in really sort of four pillars, if you will. Yeah. The first is we give money back to the community, back to other nonprofits that support kids. We do it via grants. Our grants are smaller in size. Typically, they're between $1,000 and $5,000. And we give out anywhere from 130 to 150, 60 grants each year. We also have two baseball programs. We have one program called Redbird Rookies. It's for kids ages 5 to 13. It's a non-competitive development league for baseball and softball. And then we also have the Cardinals Nike RBI program, which is for kids 14 to 18. And that's a more competitive league. So we support that. And then lastly, we have ball fields that we have either built or renovated in and around the area. We have 24 fields that are under the Cardinals Care umbrella.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that many.
And it makes baseball accessible to kids who otherwise might not be familiar with the sport, might not grow up playing. I think it's easy to take it for granted that, you know, like so many kids in St. Louis play soccer or think, oh, yeah, every kid has a chance to play baseball. But it's just not true. And so to be able to open up those opportunities, if you want to play baseball and you live in the city or wherever you may live, that's awesome to grow the game that way.
Yeah, that's one of the more rewarding parts of the job is being able to provide baseball to a lot of kids, boys and girls, baseball, softball, that may not have the opportunity or may not have the equipment or may not have the green space in their community. They don't have a field. And so to be able to support that and be able to provide that is really cool.
Winter warm-up, again, starts on Saturday and it runs through Monday. What is your favorite part of the winter warm-up every year?
You know, there's a couple things I enjoy. You know, we have our alumni group that does a really great job of keeping our alumni involved. And as Amy so graciously pointed out, I've been there for 3 decades. That sounds so long.
He started when he was four. That was amazing. He was 4 years old when they hired him.
Every compliment with her is a backhand.
Well, no,
everyone.
I think it's awesome. I love saying, like, wow, you've been here this long.
Well, you've been there a long time, haven't you?
Because he was four when they hired him, Ron.
That's illegal.
That's what they call it, precocious.
That's illegal. What is this, the 20s?
Oh, man. So since I've been there so long.
It's the 1920s, I meant. It is the 20s, actually.
It's fun to see the alumni come back. I do enjoy that.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy, you know, it's a family-friendly event. And so there's a lot of kids. And just you get a chance as a kid to go up to one of your favorite players and hand them a baseball, and they sign it, and you get to shake their hand. That's pretty cool.
Is Fred Bird going to be there?
He will.
Is he going to be biting other people's heads?
I'm sure he will.
That really bothers me.
I don't know that Michael knows your story.
Why don't you tell him?
So when Ronge was a kid, he went to the Cardinals game.
Okay.
No. Oh. Fred Bird came to Granite City for an appearance.
Fred Bird came to Granite City.
Yeah.
And he walked over to Ronge and he bit his head like he does.
Got a photo of it.
And Ronge really took it to heart and thought that he didn't bite anyone's heads except for his. So he thought he was really special.
Turns out he does it to everybody.
Oh.
And so he thought he and Fred Bird had a special relationship.
I thought we had a special thing.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
Apparently he bites the heads of other kids. And so anyway,
it hurts my feelings.
Ronge has felt a little sad ever since.
It still bothers him. I can tell.
Yeah, I think about it all the time. I think I woke up thinking about it today.
Remember when Fred Bird? I thought it was just me and Fred Bird. He's had commitment issues ever since.
Ever since.
He really has.
I cannot be in a relationship. I have no trust. Michael, can you do something about Fred Bird?
I will have a word with him.
All right.
Yeah. Well, 3-day admission tickets are $50 for fans age 16 and older, $25 for fans 4 to 15, and 3 and under are free. There will be, as you mentioned, over 50 players, alumni, and coaches will be on hand for the event, which at $50 a ticket, that's $1 a celebrity. That's a pretty good
rate.
That's
not bad.
That's a great rate.
That's not bad. So cardinals.com/WWU, and you can get tickets. And again, some of the festivities are free to come in, the Q&A session, for example, but autographs, photos, that sort of thing, you will have to get tickets for. So,
that is correct.
Michael Hall, anything else you want people to know before we say goodbye?
Just we appreciate all the support of the fans over the years, and this year included. It's a family-friendly event. If you have looking for something to do this weekend and you don't already have tickets, come on out and see us.
And I will say, quick note, if you are thinking like, oh, maybe I'll buy some tickets, fans who purchase tickets by January 18th will automatically be entered to win a special early bird prize, a Hall of Fame prize pack, including autographed photos from Stan Musial, Red Shandies, and Lou Brock.
Oh.
That's kind of like, that's all the motivation you need to buy your tickets now.
Well, that's for our 50-50.
Oh, for the 50-50.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay,
50-50 tickets. Yeah. Sorry.
You have to get those when you're... Oh, you can get them, like she said, you can get them ahead of time, or you can buy them there.
You can buy them there. You can buy them ahead of time. You can buy them online now. So that's for our 50-50
that's
drawing.
That's the 50-50. Sorry, that's awesome.
All the information, cardinals.com/WWU. Michael Hall, Executive Director of Cardinals Care. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And good luck this weekend. We'll see you.
We'll see you Monday.
We will, again, Amy and I, broadcasting from 9 to 11 on Monday. We will be at Cardinals Nation, where our KMOX setup is. We'll be there ahead of inauguration programming here on KMOX.
Mexico City.
So, betting on flights could be a thing, maybe, and not betting on the actual
betting while
time.
In the plane.
That's exactly right. So here's the thing. Delta Airlines and DraftKings have partnered, and quote, no one knows what it means. So Delta Airlines announced a partnership with DraftKings during one of their keynote addresses at the CES conference that took place in Las Vegas last week. So currently, federal laws prohibit in-flight sports betting. And they do note, DraftKings notes that regulations can change because that's how DraftKings became a $19 billion gambling behemoth in less than 15 years. Delta CEO Ed Bastian referenced the fact that he was speaking in Las Vegas. Again, no one quite knows what that partnership will entail. Some people were speculating that perhaps customers could earn Delta Sky Miles through betting on DraftKings. The gambling company also operates DraftKings Network, which is a sports media outlet. So maybe Delta would make DraftKings Network content available on flights. But it is interesting that they're partnering, and it could be that Delta is expecting eventually these regulations to change, and maybe that's why they wanted to have a partnership to be first on board.
It's an interesting concept because individual states have the gambling rules. You can bet right now. As of right now, in Illinois, you cannot bet in Missouri, but you will be able to soon because the people voted for it. So if you're in the sky, I guess it doesn't really matter what state you're currently flying over, you would be able to bet. So if you're flying above a state that does not allow it, I guess there are just different rules for that. It's an interesting idea and how they're going to actually tackle it. What I love is this story, and this was on Yahoo from, was it last week?
A few days ago. Yeah.
A few days ago. I love the headline. And the headline of the story is, gambling on your Delta flight is a terrible idea your degenerate friends will love. And I got a lot of degenerate friends who lovingly refer to each other as degens.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Wait, your friends do?
No, the gamblers. The sports bettors, they call themselves degens.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I know everybody loves sports gambling. People love gambling, blah, blah, blah. I know when it comes to the generated revenue and how it will be spent and how it will benefit the schools, do it for the kids. That is always very controversial because we talked about that with the boats, the casino boats on the river, and how, you know, they talk a big game and then the money doesn't get filtered down to the schools or the kids. And a lot of conversations about gambling. And when we were talking about the voting on the gambling measure this fall, it was a professor at, I can't remember which university, but she said, you know what, don't do it for the kids. Don't do it for, you know, it's going to help with roads. She goes, you never know how this money's going to be spent.
Right.
You don't know how the revenue that's generated will actually be allotted. You either like gambling or you don't, and vote that way. That's what she had said.
You like it or don't, or you want the money to be spent here or not.
Yes. And
it's that simple. Either it gets spent and the tax money, whatever happens to the tax money, mm-hmm. comes into Missouri, or it goes across the border to Kansas, Illinois, or another state that allows it.
Yes. And I think we both
agree.
That's
the better argument.
That having a casino in your hand, right, if you can bet on an app, it is more people will gamble. A lot of people don't gamble because they're like, I would place a bet, but I'm not driving to Illinois. Yeah. I talk to a lot of people who say that. So if it's in your hand, yes, we know that a lowering the barrier to entry, making it convenient, will absolutely increase gambling rates. I felt like I was in a very small minority when I'm personally, we have enough issues, have enough vices. Why introduce another one? I get it. I'm not a huge fan of it. Not a huge fan of sports gambling. I'll just leave it at that. I was a little surprised by how close the vote was back in November because I thought I was in a small, small minority. But a lot of people voted against it for whatever reasons. One thing, I get that there are always risks with vices. This was a new statistic that I did not realize, that gambling addicts have the highest rate of suicide among all addictive behaviors. 1 in 5, or 20%, of gambling addicts have attempted suicide, which seems super high. And also, gambling rates among teens and young adults are 2 to 3 times higher than that of adults. So teens and young adults, which I've personally seen how popular it is with high school and college kids. So for me, I think the risks outweigh the benefits, even though the trajectory of votes and of our country are show that it's going to be legalized everywhere. But I'm personally not thrilled about it.
Yeah, I'm going to use the gun owner argument, and I am a responsible bettor. So why would you take that away from me?
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference when it's in the Bill of Rights. You know what I mean? Like, I get it.
I don't think there is a difference because one is far more dangerous than the other. And there's a I'm not going to get into the Second Amendment thing, but there's a misinterpretation of the amendment that I think we've gone so far down the road of. It is there will be benefits that happen. And yes, for some people, it's not going to be good for them. You just have to set yourself limits. And if we believe in personal responsibility, you have to set limits. You can do that on the apps where they will not allow you to bet if you've given yourself a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And the vast majority of people who do bet, it's like a few dollars here and there. We're not talking like I'm putting my kids' college tuition fund, on
this
bet.
Well, that's why it's an opinion. Like, this is not like, to me, again, it's an opinion, and I know big people bring up alcohol. I get it. I'm just saying, personally, if we've already got issues, I'm not thrilled with introducing another one. I'm also in favor of red flag laws. So there you go.
That's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji. Bernie Miklas will join us when we come back. The Los Angeles Rams have advanced. They won their game last night. The division round games are set in the NFL. Of course, we are getting closer and closer to baseball season and pitchers and catchers reporting in February. We're going to talk to him about all of those things and the college football playoff next on KMOX.
Get the ball out in the screen. Under 20 to go. Wide open. Allen, touchdown.
Joe Buck on the call on ESPN. The Los Angeles Rams with a win. Technically a home win, but they played in Arizona because of the wildfires. And with that victory last night, they have advanced in the NFL playoffs. In the first weekend, the wild card weekend is officially over. The Bernie Miklas Report brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Bernie is with us now. How's it going, Bernie?
We're doing good, man. You know, doing some writing, doing some yapping, doing some videos. Just a busy day, but I like it. It keeps me, I don't know if it keeps my brain energized. It keeps me energized.
Keeps you young.
Yeah,
it keeps you young and spry.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, that too. Absolutely.
So that with the Rams game last night, they had pretty much total control of the game against Minnesota, a team that had won 14 games. And I just can't, I don't know, man, I can't help but watch what the Rams have become since they've left St. Louis, and relatively quickly, I might add, and think they could have very easily been this team here if they wanted it to be. They just didn't want it to be. And it's frustrating, and I know a lot of people have gotten over it. How do you feel about it? Are you well past the Rams leaving St. Louis, or do you watch those games and think, you know, you could have been doing that here?
Well, I am over it. And the reason I'm over it, and by the way, I mean this sincerely, I don't fault anyone who still is kind of seething over this quietly after all this time since they moved. Everyone is entitled to their own emotions. I'm over it because I just refuse to allow Stan Kroenke in my head. I don't know what to say. Like, I've seen some of my friends in the media, and I know a lot of fans. I mean, it's almost an obsession with Kroenke. I understand the hatred. I understand that he's a bad guy. I understand all that. But like I told a colleague one time, I said, well, I like to watch NFL football, and if the Rams are a good team and they're involved in big games, I'm going to watch the Rams. And I'm not going to let my personal disdain for Stan Kroenke take away something that I truly love to do, which is watch NFL football. Mm-hmm. So I said to my colleague, why would you want Stan Kroenke to live in your head until as long as you're on the earth? I just don't see how that's productive or healthy, actually.
Right, because he doesn't care if you're not watching. He doesn't care at all. So now you're depriving yourself of something you love because of him. And I don't know. Maybe a lot of people talk a big game or say they hate him, but I think we all have a price, super cynical. But like, if someone offered me $100,000 to wear an I Love Stan Kroenke shirt for a month, I'd
yeah,
do
well,
it.
Yeah.
I'd 100% do it.
Right. But you're not screwing an entire city by doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. He's a horrible person. That's what I mean. Like, it's just that if you don't watch football and you love it, you're not hurting him. You're hurting yourself.
You know, and I watched the game last night. Like, I think this particular L.A. Rams team is very dangerous in the playoffs. They won 7 out of 9. McVay is one of the great coaches in the league. They continue to, their defense has been reinvented. It's younger. It's just punishing people like we saw last night. I think they're very dangerous. But I wanted to go back to kind of what you said there, you know, about Kroenke. Listen, he's a bad dude. I mean, anybody who buys up all this land in Texas, the country's largest ranch or whatever, and he's kicking like widows and widowers off the property. I mean, stuff like that. He's ruthless. He has no soul. And if I may take a cheap shot, see, I'm not opposed to taking shots.
Go right ahead, please.
We love it.
Well, I love the storyline about how they're, you know, they have to leave LA to go play in Arizona, which is totally understandable. And it was a responsible decision. The league made it. And I'm very proud of Michael Bidwill, native St. Louis and owner of the Cardinals, who fought for St. Louis during this whole franchise transfer thing. He really did. He got shouted down by the other owners, but he took them on in the meeting before they all voted. So the storyline to me is humorous, although I give Michael Bidwill all the credit in the world. A lot of fuss is being made over the fact that Michael Bidwill wanted to do his part to help. He sent two planes, jumbo-sized planes, to L.A. to pick up the Rams players, staff, families, everyone that works for the Rams. And so Michael Bidwill said, well, I want to get all those people here. They deserve to have some relief. And I said to my wife last night, I said, well, why is Bidwill doing this? Why isn't Kroenke footing the bill?
Yeah.
To fill two planes with his people, his employees, and their loved ones. Why is he leaving it up to another owner? And, you know, I was kidding around with my wife. I said, well, he'll probably be very gracious by saying, well, you know, Michael, I'm happy to pay for the fuel. You know, I'm happy to pay for the fuel if I don't help you out a little bit. I mean, that sums up Stan Kroenke maybe in a way that never has. The Arizona Cardinals owner had to pay for two planes to fly the L.A. Rams staff and loved ones to Arizona for that game.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It is believable.
Right. But it's weird when someone – here's the thing. You can hate someone and dislike them, but it doesn't mean that 100% of the actions they take or the words they say are offensive. Someone could be really awful and then occasionally they do something okay. Stan Kroenke is so on brand as a sleazeball, scumbag, lowlife, it's kind of surprising. It's like, wow, he walks the brand line.
No, that's right. And where I kind of draw the line, I guess is the way to put it, is... And I've had to tell people this a lot. It's like, you know, Matthew Stafford didn't move the Rams out of St. Louis. Kyron Williams, who's their running back and is a really good one, native St. Louisan, he didn't move the team out of St. Louis. Those players on the field, he's retired now, but one of the great defensive tackles of all time, Aaron Donald, who started his career in St. Louis, he didn't move the team. So like, in other words, like, why in the world are we, like, holding the players accountable hating on them? And can I point out one other thing? I really want to throw this in, and I think it's relevant. James Gladstone is the director of scouting for the Los Angeles Rams. Now, why do I bring him up? He's a native St. Louisan who Les Snead hired in St. Louis to a low-level job in the football operation, and he's moved his way up. And he soon will be a general manager in the National Football League. He's like a rising star, right? Now, why would I hate him? And I'll tell you there's a reason for that. Why would I hate him? When his parents live directly behind us in our neighborhood, and they're the most wonderful people we know. They're wonderful people. And they're so excited for their son who has made his way up the ladder in the NFL. And I, one time on the air, was like, got in an argument with a co-host because this co-host said, well, I don't care. He shouldn't have taken that job out there. And I'm like, what? Like, it's okay for you or me to pursue our dreams, but you're that petty? You would like hate on this young guy for pursuing his dream to work in an NFL front office? I mean, that's the kind of petty insanity I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, no, I get it. I think people are just so upset. Back to, and yes, a lot of folks have gotten over it. They've stopped watching the league. However, St. Louis does really well in NFL ratings. People still watch the sport a lot. It's one of the best markets, honestly, in the country for the NFL. They're still watching a ton. But it's just, it's a thing I can't get past, because I love the Battle Hawks. I'm thankful that we have a thing to do on Saturdays or Sundays during the spring. But to be celebrating an NFL team There's nothing like it when it's in your city. And just to look at what they did for the last 12 years they were here, and they were awful for 12 years. They go to Los Angeles. They've been there for, what, 9? And they've been in the playoffs 6 times already. 6 times. Well, and they have 2 losing seasons that entire time. So they've had 7 winning seasons, 6 playoff appearances, 1 Super Bowl victory, 2 appearances in the Super Bowl. It was doable. They could have been doing all of this here. And I think that is the part that still hurts, because it has effects. Every time they win, it has effects on this city, I think.
Oh, it does, Ronj. And to your point, too, the way he trashed the city on the way out. And just, I mean, that is, it's unforgivable. Not that you have to stop watching football. It's just he will always be a scumbag through and through. And even for non-football fans, because we've talked, I was talking about this last week. There was several weeks ago a murder down by the Dome at like 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon. That's because that is a dead area. A football team, an NFL football team, leaving your city hurts you economically. It hurts your resources. It hurts businesses, safety. Go on and on down the list. An NFL team is good for a city.
Well, absolutely. And the Rams, when they moved here, it was such tremendous excitement and joy. And, of course, we were treated to the greatest show on turf, you know, 1999 through 2001, 2 NFC championships, highest scoring offense in NFL history at that time, plus the Super Bowl championship and that capped the 99 season. Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, Orlando Pace, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Dick Vermeil, on and on and on and on. And so that was a very, as Mike Martz always calls it, you know, it was a special time and place, or a special place in time, pardon me. And it was devastating the way Kroenke and his henchmen, Kevin Demoff, tore down the franchise once he got control of the franchise, because he always wanted to be the LA guy. And, you know, and they tanked. They signed some free agents, but they spent foolishly, and in my opinion, on purpose, with some of the money that they spent just to kind of make it look good. They actually knew that these investments would actually make the team worse. I mean, so I'm not above the level of having hatred and having conspiracy theories. But I also have to say this, and this will cause KMOX listeners to hate me, and that's okay. But I do remind people that we actually went and snatched the team out of LA and brought it here. It was done with more in a more ethical way, because Los Angeles was not going to do anything to keep the Rams there. So I think we were on better, much better moral ground.
And our public was supporting them better than they were in LA.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, when the year that when the Rams were 15-65 over a 3-year period, their average, which was the worst in NFL history at that time over 3 years, the average home attendance here in St. Louis was greater than when Eric Dickerson, and keep in mind, we're talking about playoff teams in L.A. When Eric Dickerson set the league record for most rushing yards in a season, those L.A. Rams teams during that time, but in that season, drew fewer people per home game than a 15-65 team in St. Louis over that time.
Yeah.
And St. Louis was willing to build a stadium. A lot of people oppose it, but St. Louis was willing to step forward with it. And see, that's the difference between the Rams leaving L.A. No, we're not doing anything. Bye. You know, in St. Louis, it's like, well, let us work. Let us do this. We'll try this. How about this? You know, it was a good faith effort. And, you know, Kroenke basically spit in the faces of the people trying to do it. And all of the fans who loved that team and supported a really, really horrible product during the last several seasons
They have 55,000 people a game when they were barely winning 7 games.
Right.
And knowing that they were trying to take the team out of town on top of it.
That's right.
You know, it's just whatever. But I know that, again, people are over it. A lot of people are over it. But I can't help every now and then to think this would be great to be to have in this city right now, them playing the way they've played over the last 8-9 years. So,
you know, and you know, the only thing I'd say where we went wrong in St. Louis, and I'm not blaming anyone, but hear what I'll say and I'll be quick, because what I say makes a lot of sense. And Dave Peacock, who tried to get the stadium built to keep the Rams here. I said, well, what is your takeaway other than the fact that the NFL is hopelessly corrupt and the fix was in? And he said, well, he said, I just wish along the way that we would have had a local owner step up and pay for everything, and a local owner who's invested in the community and their heart, their blood, their souls invested in St. Louis, you know, would have certainly kept the team here. They would have worked with us and blah, blah, blah. You know, because Kroenke liked to brag, well, I'm a Missouri man. Yeah, you're a Missouri man until you have a chance to make more money here, you know, and that's where your loyalty ends. So,
well,
you know, but I agree with that. Like the Rams never, excuse me, the Rams, the Cardinals had the Bidwell family. That was a mixed bag. Like I said, I really like Michael Bidwell a lot, and he's proud of St. Louis and the fact that he's a native. He's done a lot in St. Louis, even now. He helps out some charitable organizations. But Dave Peacock is right on this end. You know, just like Carolyn Kendall Betts stepped forward and said, no, we need a soccer team. We'll take care of it. Imagine her at a different time where the timing would have been right, and she would have been the one to emerge as an owner of an NFL franchise in St. Louis. Would we be worrying about them scurrying out like weasels? No. She's loyal to St. Louis and would keep the team here.
Well, the Rams just they get smoked by the Eagles next week, so they'll play on Sunday afternoon. All right, on our Twitter page, it's at Chris Amy KMOX. You need to be following us, you jerk. We do polls. We do scientific polls that we ask you a question. And yesterday it came to our attention that there is a massive St. Patrick's Day celebration in Rolla every year. I didn't know it, but I guess it's been going on for well over 100 years. So we asked you the question, who has the biggest St. Patrick's Day festivities in Missouri? And your options were Rolla and Dogtown, because there's a huge celebration here. And it's a little closer than I expected. Dogtown won with a vote of 57%. Rolla got 43%. I had no clue.
I had no idea
what was going on.
I need to ask my cousin. My cousin is Irish on her mom's side, very Irish on her mom's side.
I wish I would have known about this.
And she lives in Rolla. I need to ask her. Because I never even thought about it. For those of you watching the live stream on YouTube, you can see Ronj giving thumbs up and congratulating himself on his pun.
That was a good pun.
Yikes.
I love Alderwoman Velasquez's comment about puns don't win elections. Because she loves puns and has to hold back.
No, I'll tell you what wins elections. Great nicknames like Meatball Ron.
To be honest, it's so great.
What was it you sent me? We have to get to break, but you sent me a screenshot of a tweet or something that a guy, was it? Oh, a girl who said that her boyfriend was, they were giving each other nicknames and her boyfriend has been calling her Meatball Tony.
Yes.
And it just stuck.
I love it. Some people call their baby cutie. I call her Meatball Tony.
If I ever date anybody again, I'm calling him Meatball whatever. I'm picking it. All right. The Billikens have a big game tonight against Virginia Commonwealth. It is a big one. Will they win? We're going to talk to Earl Austin Jr. about it next on KMOX.